want us to deal with a question this morning. In our religion, are we looking to tradition, Christian tradition, to guide us in those things that we do? Are we looking to the Bible, the Word of God? When we think about tradition, we recognize that that's precepts and rules that are not written in the law that God has left for us. But these things are believed to have been given by God to Moses. People believe that they're orally transmitted and have been orally transmitted from generation to generation. They believe that they ought to be obeyed just as the will of God. And so Jesus was asked about this situation in Matthew 15, verse 2. The question that was asked of him, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread?" But Jesus answered them and said unto them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your traditions?" Then in verse 6, it had been said and emphasized to them that they ought to honor their father and their mother. They ought to support them in times when they were in need. And they kind of laid aside that responsibility. They were saying to their fathers and their mothers, "I would help you, but I've committed what I might have helped you with to the Lord and His cause." And they really were saying, "And honor not his father or his mother. Because if you say you committed these things to the Lord, you're free from that responsibility." And then Jesus asked them, "Have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition?" That's a very serious question, isn't it? Again, in Mark 7 and verse 3, "For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands often, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders." Verse 5, "Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, 'Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?'" Mark 7 and verse 9, "And he said unto them, 'Full well you reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition.'" And then he said in verse 13, "Making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have believed, and many such like things do you." So Christian scholars often support their teaching and doctrinal positions using Christian tradition. They attempt to determine the beliefs and behavior of Christians throughout history and to use these traditions as authority in the practice of faith only. In this case, traditions are given equality or greater weight than the Bible in defining doctrine and righteous behavior. This reasoning is flawed and dangerous. Jesus warned us about accepting those ideas. And the reason he warned us about accepting those ideas first was that traditions vary and are often contradictory, the one to the other. If one were to use the various doctrines and beliefs of today as a standard for one's faith and practice, he would be totally confused, because there are hundreds of denominations that claim to be Christian, and each is following a doctrine or a belief that will be used in the future to define tradition. These beliefs are based on opinion rather than the standard of God's Word. The question we're dealing with: are we going to follow Christian traditions? Are we going to follow the Word of God, the Bible, that was inspired by the Spirit of God? It does make a difference what we believe and practice. The second reason that we cannot put our hope in tradition and use tradition as we want to use it is because it's condemned as a source of a religious authority. Consider Mark 7 and verse 9, as Jesus says, "All too well, you reject the commandments of God that you may keep your traditions." And also consider Paul's teaching in his letter to the Colossian church, as he states in Colossians 2:8, a verse that we've been dealing with in the Wednesday morning class now for some time. He says, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." These traditions contradict Scripture and undermine the doctrine provided by God's Word. That Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. The Son of God said that all the things that he spoke were the things revealed unto him by his Father. And we ought to listen to those things that were revealed unto him by the Father. Traditions that are totally consistent with Bible teaching are mentioned and approved in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 15. Where Paul writes, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle." The apostles' words or writings were adequate to establish the traditions to be held by those that were seeking to worship God at that time. We have these writings and their inspired word today in the Bible, the Word of God. Other traditions determined by historical study of the church are not authoritative and are therefore not acceptable for doctrine. These scribes that wrote in Bible times and throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament were public writers. And in the New Testament times, they were the interpreters of the law and also teachers of the law. They bitterly opposed Jesus. In Matthew 21, verses 15 through 16, "And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple, and saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were sore displeased, and said unto him, 'Hearest thou what these say?' And Jesus saith unto them, 'Yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfect praise?'" That was found in the book of Psalms, the 8th chapter of the 2nd verse, and evidently they'd never read about these things. This was perfect praise that these children were offering at this time, because Christ, in a sense, was the Son of David. And they were singing praises under his name. In Luke 11 and verse 44, the scripture says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them." They were really not following the teaching of the will of God. That was not the basis of those things that they were teaching during this period of time. The Bible, then, is sufficient for our understanding of God's will. Jesus refers to the inspiration of Scripture, as he states in John 16 and verse 13, talking about the giving of the Spirit after his death and resurrection. He said, "When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." So Jesus was talking here to the apostles about the coming of the Holy Spirit following his death and his return to heaven. According to his promise, the Spirit himself would provide the guidance for the church concerning the doctrine to be taught. Jesus said about that Spirit, when he comes, he'll not speak of himself, but the things that he speaks of will be of me. Why? Because Jesus Christ in the New Testament is our Savior. He's our sacrifice for sin. He's our very present help in time of need. And he'll guide us through the works of the Spirit into those things that are true for us to embrace today. Paul gave instructions to Timothy, the young evangelist at that time, and he instructed Timothy to establish the basis for total trust in the Bible for our spiritual guidance. He says in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished, or equipped for every good work. It wasn't the writing of the scribes and their traditions that Timothy was to listen to, but he was to listen to the Scripture. And the Scripture says that he was taught those things from the time he was a child, right on up, throughout that period of time in the New Testament. And again, let's consider 2 Timothy 2:15 and 16, which records, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. Paul talked to Timothy quite a bit about listening to the Word of God, about stating only those things that were written and those things that were true. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 7, he said, but refuse profane, and that's a common idea or a thing that might be taught, and all wives' fables, which are false tales that are taught, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Then in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 20, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called. Man today needs only to know and understand and obey God based upon the clear teachings of the Bible, not traditions of the church throughout the years. So-called Christian tradition too often is not consistent with what the Bible says. Now the question we have to answer this morning is, what is the basis of our faith and hope? What are we following as far as the truth of God is concerned? God spoke unto the fathers in times past through the prophets. But let's listen to what he says in Hebrews concerning our time. Looking at Hebrews chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Christ was with God in the beginning. The Scripture says that all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That Word that existed in the beginning became flesh and dwelt among us. And all those that received him gave he the power to become sons of God. That power to become sons of God was in the gospel. And all of those that accepted the gospel in the first century and obeyed it were added to the church that Christ came to establish. Then he went on in Hebrews 1, verses 3 and 4, talking about Christ, who in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Listen, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. It's in his name that we're saved. Now the question this morning is, have you accepted him as your Savior? Are you saved because of your faith in him as the Son of God and your belief in the promise of the gospel that your sins would be forgiven and that God would add you to his church? Has that addition been made in your life this morning?